What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Colorado Show. Brought to you by the Colorado Free Press and Creative Destruction Media. What's up, Darren? How's Florida? How is it? How is it being free?
What? Florida's good. It's hot as hell, but humidity
goes. Yo,
this humidity is disrespectful. Like, I don't know what the heck is going on, but other than that, everything's just fine and dandy, you know. Got sunlight and guns. Love it.
Did you see the there was a news story about how love bugs are carrying all sorts of weird diseases now?
It's to the point now everything's carrying diseases. I don't even pay attention to it anymore. Everything causes cancer. Everything gives diseases.
Love bugs are Florida special.
And the funny thing about it is, I was jogging yesterday and I saw them on a leaf, and they were like glowing green or something was glowing green. It was weird.
That seems natural.
Yeah, but I just kind of like ran faster. That's it.
All right, so you found a story this week about Colorado legislation that was passed a couple years ago, which I did not know about, and I think it's very interesting. So we're going to get into that. But first, I think from now on we should start. We did this last week, started with a Biden update, and this week we're starting with Tucker Carlson and Jesse Kelly. We're going to do that. We're going to do like kind of a national segment at the top. We're going to pull in this clip. Excellent discussion. Very specific point. It's about a minute. We'll watch this and we'll talk about it.
People do not understand how sick the mind of the liberal white woman is, and they don't understand that is the true beating heart of the Democrat Party today. I'm not even actually trying to be mean about this. It's why they talk to them. Do people know that married women vote Republican? Married men vote Republican, married men vote Republican, single men vote Republican, but it's something like 77% of single women vote Democrat, and the majority, over 58% of those women have been diagnosed with mental illness. Single, miserable women who are clinically insane are the beating heart of the Democrat Party. And that's why these people do the things they do. And that's why they do what they do when it comes to illegal immigration, because single white women view illegal immigration like rescuing dogs who've been abused. Oh, sure, everybody just come into my country. Please rape anyone you want. Of course, that's the right thing to do. No love of country, just sitting there popping her anti-anxiety medication as she destroys Western civilization. That's the truth.
Tucker, hey, if you look at Tucker's face, he tried to hold it in.
Yeah.
He's trying not to laugh.
Yeah, well, actually, we should watch it again without the sound.
Tucker looks so zoomed in. He's like, don't laugh. Watch him. Just watch him. Oh my goodness. He broke that down to the bone gristle.
So just Tucker, we're just watching for Tucker's face. You can see where Jesse's going. I mean, where's the lie? Right? Where's he going with this? I don't know where he's going with this.
He's like, how did he dissect this so well? It's like, this guy is a genius.
Beating heart. He just hit me, and Tucker's like, okay, maybe.
He's like, it's making sense. Yo, this is getting interesting. Yo, he's right. Holy. I've never heard any.
There it is. I think it was on rape anyone you want.
That's what that is. Oh my god, yo! Give it up for Tucker Carlson, everybody.
Before we get to the brainwave thing, I'm going to call an audible because I think that segue of liberal white women is perfect for the discussion.
You know what? That's a mean transition right there. That is good. That's good.
I mean, I think we're just gonna. So I'm gonna for the audience, I'm gonna skip through a bit of this. This just happened. This is like, you know, 15, 20 minutes ago on the floor of the House. They are debating amendments to the school, the youth safe sports bill. So this is a bill about making sure that everybody that's involved in children's sports have a background check, and are, if they can't have a background check, which is weird, right? Why can't, we're talking about people adjacent to kids. Why couldn't they? She gets into it in one second in a part of this. And she's like, if they can't have a background check, or if the background check isn't able to, and she cuts herself off, and it's like, wait, you mean if they can't pass a background check, how you're gonna get them to still be able to be around kids?
Probably. What is it? What is so complicated? Never mind. I'll wait till we play
this. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Parenti and Wilford sponsored this bill, and they worked really hard on it. They stakeholder-ered it, which is apparently a word now. Stakeholdering.
I need you to say that one more time. Stakeholder, yeah. What?
So they've turned the word stakeholder, which means somebody with a stake in the outcome, they've turned that into a verb. And so all summer long, or all session long, they've been saying, we stakeholdered this with, you know, all these different people. And it's like, okay, you learned a new word and you're using it wrong, kitten. But so they have, you know, law enforcement, coaches, volunteers, all the things. Parenti put a lot of work into this bill, and then it went to the Senate and it got all messed up. And now it's come back and they have to vote on it in the House again. And it doesn't look anything like her original bill. And she's very upset about it. The thing is that the Democrats have a triple majority in our state. There's literally no way that the Republicans can disrupt what Jennifer Parenti.
How did that happen? Like
stolen
like,
elections. And so there's no way that Parenti can.
Communism.
byproduct of communism. So there's no way that Republicans can mess her up. So she's real mad at her own caucus, and in fact, at her co-sponsor of the bill. This is kind of hilarious.
Oh, I gotta see this. I can't hear anything.
Checks.
Oh, you don't hear it? Can you hear now?
This was stakeholder with actual providers of youth sports in our states. We took lots of amendments based on their feedback. My co-primes.
Okay, here.
Months stakeholdering good language around youth sports background checks. This was stakeholder with actual providers of youth sports in our
very
states.
Important to her.
We took lots of amendments based on their feedback to ensure that people who come from overseas were getting correct background checks, that people who couldn't go through a background check could still participate as long as they were supervised, so that we had first aid and CPR training for our youth sports coaches. Somebody doesn't like the bill that we passed yesterday.
Your own caucus.
And has orchestrated this amendment to undo months of work in both chambers of the General Assembly.
All right, here
we
go.
Members, I want to talk about process since my bill was invoked on something I completely disagree with. The amendment that was brought up by the bill sponsor, L009, has been stakeheld by CDHS and CDAC. It has been the approved amendment of the stakeholder work. These new amendments, they're in the corner.
Her
right
earrings
now,
are amazing.
No one has showed them.
I can't pull that off. I can only go like
that. But it has been worked on apparently for a while without stakeholding with anyone else. And
I
don't know what's going on with her other bill, but that shouldn't impact the good work of this bill. And so I ask for a no vote on this amendment that hasn't even been explained to anyone at all, and a yes vote on the underlying amendment.
Okay, so she's gonna come
in. Representative Wilson.
And we're going to skip
from Czech language
here we're explaining.
We negotiated and passed yesterday in House Bill 1080 is good enough. And that we don't have to change that in this bill. It keeps the rest of the bill intact. And it says that we're not going to change background checks in this bill. Because we just did that, and we all agreed to it yesterday. That's what this amendment does. I urge your aye vote, if for no other reason, then this is not the way that we change each other's bills on the fly.
Jesus.
With no discussion. I urge your aye vote.
Is Representative Wilford.
This is my favorite part.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Colleagues, I want to acknowledge that this is really hard.
That's all we need to hear. This is really hard.
Yo, what is...
Why can't we just do what we want? Why are there, like, checks and you're, like, not listening to me and I'm not listening to you? And it's really hard.
Why can't we just make this decision now? It's easy. This is really not that difficult. Like, give everybody background checks and shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, let's background check everybody involved in youth sports. Let's not have exceptions.
Is it coaches and...
Yeah, coaches, volunteers, assistant coaches, well,
adults,
all of that.
Adults, basically.
And right now, there is Safe Sport Colorado, as a hockey mom. By the way, go Avs. Tonight is game 7 between Vegas and Dallas, and the winner of that contest will play us here in Colorado. So go
That's
Avs, go.
Dope.
But there's already, you know, requirements for coaches to have to be background checked, to have to go through safe sport training and all that kind of stuff. This broadens that to anybody who's around kids. But you heard her in there talking about, and in fact, before I shut this down entirely, there is part of this where she starts explaining.
No, she's explaining more.
She's explaining, like, what to do about people that can't get background checks. I think it's right here.
How can you not get background checks?
Well, to keep
she cuts herself off before she goes there.
I would respectfully ask for a no vote on this amendment.
Because it's really hard. Here.
With respect to my colleagues, if we remove this bill, we are saying that people who cannot be background checked, maybe they don't have...
What? What don't they have?
Or where a background check has not been able to produce an effective record.
Oh, hang on just a second there. Does that mean that somebody that can't pass a background check? Is that what she's saying?
That's what
it sounds like, right?
Yeah, that sounds pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah. So Jesse Kelly was right.
Yeah, right. Facts. So here's my thing. These are grown adults with social security numbers or something, a tax ID number, something. So where's the problem here? Why is this such a difficult task?
Well, a background check will not produce an effective record, I think she said. So, like, these background checks, they're kind of a problem for us getting our pedos into
child sports. This is a state, okay? This is a state of Colorado, okay? This is the biggest corporation in the state of Colorado. So, if every other company can do it, why is it so hard for them?
Well, because sometimes the background check won't produce the outcome that you want, i.e. they'll fail it. And so we've got to have some other options for them. All right, we're going to move on from this. Hilarious.
Real quick. How come they just won't say, we want to allow pedophiles to play with kids? Why would they just say that?
No, you can't say pedophile. They banned the word pedophile from the floor. Okay.
Why don't they just say that? We want questionable individuals
because it's mean. It's mean and it hurts the feelings of pedophiles. That's why. Okay.
Let's not use that word. Just, why don't they just say we want questionable individuals to have access to children?
I mean, that's what she just said.
Just come out on the floor and say it. And let's not beat around the bush about it with all this stupid language and all this. Oh well, you know what about people that just cannot admit it? Like no. Just say it. I want weirdos to have access to children. Just say it.
They sure do. And we're going to just one more time.
Been able to produce an effective record.
An effective record means a clean record.
Yesterday.
Exactly.
That's been able to
is implementable and will help to keep kids safe.
It's Princess Leia right there. I
respectfully ask for a no vote on this amendment.
Representative Parenti.
Here we go.
With respect to my colleagues, if we remove this bill, we are saying that people who cannot be background checked.
Who is that?
Maybe they don't have.
What don't they have? What don't they have?
Or where a background we're not gonna answer that one. Has not been able to produce an effective record.
What now?
Can still be. Not only can still be hired, but don't have to be supervised by someone who has. This was language that was requested by the ski slopes,
the ski slopes. That's where they stakeholdered.
I got that one too.
All right, we're moving on to brainwaves. You sent me this and I was not aware of this bill.
So nobody finds it crazy that they're passing laws to protect our brainwaves? Colorado passes a law banning commercial use for people brainwave data and thoughts, making it the first law to protect brainwaves. So you mean to tell me people are now stealing our thoughts and our brainwaves? Me not having the privacy of thinking is crazy. And then I went to New York Times and I seen this crazy article. And it said your brainwaves are up for sale and a new law wants to change it. Dang, since when was they selling our brainwaves or our thoughts? And for time purposes, y'all gonna read that whole article. But then it just makes me think, like, have y'all ever been just thinking about something and then it pop up on your phone? Yeah, like an advertisement or an ad. Welcome to 2024, where we're cooked to the maximum capacity. Y'all let me know what y'all think about them passing laws to protect our thoughts and brainwaves in the comments. Like and follow for more wisdom. Stay tuned. Follow me on YouTube.
So, I was unaware, but this is actually a real thing that happened, a real bill. Privacy, this is HB 241058, protect privacy of biological data concerning protecting the privacy of individuals' biological data and in connection therewith, protecting the privacy of neural data and expanding the scope of the Colorado Privacy Act accordingly.
Crazy, man. Yeah, it's some wild times we're living in, people.
Yep. And this bad boy became law on April 17th. So, I mean, you know, I think it's great that someone somewhere is seeking to protect our brainwave data. This band of radical communists, I don't think is it. I feel like some other agenda.
No. Look, you got to understand. There is what's the word that they use for
stakeholdering?
Yes. There's a lot of stakeholderosity.
Stakeholderosity
that is occurring in order to make sure that this is going to be okay. All right. Especially in the statalisms of Colorado's stakeholderosity.
Well, right. So I guess the question, right, is this is the bill summary. you can see that they took it off of just, you know, basically the physiological, you know, body biometric data to the neural data generated. So this is data generated by the technological processing, measurement, or analysis of an individual's biological, genetic, biochemical, physiological, or neural properties, compositions, or activities, or of an individual's body or bodily functions, which data is used or intended to be used singly or in combination with other personal data for identification purposes. Biological data includes neural data, which is information that is generated by the measurement of the activity of an individual's central or peripheral nervous systems, and that can be processed by or with the assistance of a device.
You know what that sounds like to me? That West sounds world. To me like communistic stakeholderalism.
Stakeholderalism is excellent. Yeah, I think that's definitely what we should call it.
That's the new one. That's the new one. That's
Although stakeholderiocrity was also pretty good.
Stakeholderosity. Hey,
this is bananas. Data that is generated by the measurement of the activity of an individual's central or peripheral nervous systems, and that can be processed by or with the assistance of a device. And the guy in the video, he's like, you know, you ever been like thinking about something? You're not even talking about it, right? Because we know they're listening. We know the microphone is listening to you, and that you say, you know, cat food, and all of a sudden you have cat food all over your feed. But just thinking about something?
Hold on. Take this out. Take this out. Conspiracy time. Okay. So I was jogging, and I use Spotify, right? And then so it's like sometimes when I'm jogging, I'm like, all right, I want to hear this song next. And sometimes that shit happens. Like, that's mad weird. That is mad weird.
Yeah. Because Apple. I don't know. Fed right up to you.
I blamed it on the algorithm. But is it? But hold on. Is it the algorithm?
I don't know. I don't know. If it was just the algorithm, then wouldn't they pass a law on the algorithm and not on your brain activity?
Oh, hold on. What if the algorithm is your brain activity?
Whoa.
Ooh.
All right. So, yeah. I mean, we're living. So, did you ever see Westworld? Did you watch Westworld?
Never.
So, Westworld is a remake. It was done by Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy. Great production direction team. And it is AI. So, it starts off in the first season. There's these parks that the elites can go to and basically do whatever they want. They can go, and you find out in later seasons there's more than one park, but the first park is the Wild West. It's like a Wild West themed park, and all the, you know, women are dressed in the traditional whatever, but they're not people. They're these like AI bot things, robots combined with AI, and they're put on these central narratives, and they follow their central narratives until they don't, until they start to wake up and realize, you know, and that's kind of the premise for the show. But the critique of humanity that happens in this show is really stunning. You've got the people that go, they want to go on some sort of adventure and, you know, save a town. Other people want to rape and pillage. And and that comes to life in the park. And the humans are all like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, they're just hosts, and they just throw them down the, you know, garbage shaft, and they get repurposed and set back out into the park for the next.
Jesus, this is,
it's really pretty. Yeah. It's pretty grotesque. But what's the whole premise is that they're not people.
Where do I find this?
HBO. I highly recommend. I highly recommend it mainly because I think there's so many themes, particularly in the last season of the show, which I won't talk about because it would spoil it. But the last season of the show really, I think, is a reflection of our society. And we're looking at right now, I think, the prequel to a world that would create that, right? Like, I mean, the elites, you know, the inbred people with all the money, they already look at us as though we're in a park. We're toys for their fodder, right? We're useless eaters. We're playthings for them.
I always say Congress is just a bunch of people, NPCs controlled by a game controller.
Yeah. You know? Very well could be. Yeah. So that's so you know, there's that aspect of like this being, you know, being enslaved by your mental processing, which is certainly the story arc of the hosts in Westworld, but the story arc of the humans is, I think, much more interesting. That is what, like, again, we're living in the prequel. We're living in, yeah. You think it can be a reality. No, I don't want
you
know, that.
Remember when they told you that? Remember when they told you that in kindergarten? Yeah.
You can dream it. You can do it.
If you can dream it, you can do it.
Right.
Like, oh yeah. I was just dreaming about pizza. And all of a sudden, yeah. Boom, here comes my Google ads for pizza.
Yeah. It's crazy town. No. All right. So we've got parent stuff up next. And we're going to start. Get this pulled up here. It was this past weekend. We played a video of Aaron last week. I'm going to read this post and then we'll play the video. This is Aaron for Parental Rights. Oh, actually, let me pull it up here. Aaron for Parental Rights. We played her video about the petitions last week, protectcoloradokids.org. It's been exactly 3 years today since my daughter's art club and 1 year since we filed our ongoing federal lawsuit against the school district. My daughter is now thriving out of public school. She overcame and wants her story to help others. Because of her bravery to be public and fight back, our effort to stop gender ideology and ensure transparency from schools continues to grow. You can be part of the effort to make sure other families don't have to go through this. Sign up at protectkidscolorado.org. Carry a petition, sign a petition, talk about what we're doing. Donate, volunteer. They made a movie, artclubmovie.com. I'll throw that up on the screen here in a second. But let's listen to
even
this.
Even some teachers are against those policies that shred parental rights when it comes to gender transitioning. School districts in more than two dozen Democrat-led states pop up are telling their staffs that they can or should keep a student's gender choice hidden from their parents. Two Colorado families are suing the Pooter School District. They claim teachers recruited their little sixth grade daughters to join a secret club that encourages gender transition. Our team reached out to the Pooter School District for comment. We're still waiting to hear back. So far, nothing. Erin Lee is the mom of one of those girls in that secret club. She's here with Pam Bondi, the former Florida Attorney General who is representing the families in this case. Great to have you both. Erin, first of all, what did your child tell you was going on in this club?
Yeah, so she was new to school. She's a shy, introverted kid. And one regular Tuesday, her art teacher asked her to stay after school for art club. And so we gave our consent for her to attend art club that day. But when she got there, she very quickly learned it was actually gender and sexuality awareness club.
Lord.
But the art teacher had invited in an outside presenter into the classroom that day. And this woman did absolutely unthinkable things with the kids. She used flags to describe umbrella terms, telling the kids if they're not fully comfortable in their biological sex, that means they're transgender. She told them that queer is a term to use while you're still figuring out your sexuality. She talked about polyamory. She told them that these new labels that they had just adopted made them more likely to commit suicide and talked extensively about suicide. Mm. She talked to them about puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. She said that their parents might not be safe, that they don't have to tell parents where they are, not just for this meeting, but for future meetings she holds in the community. Ah. She runs an organization called Skittles for Kids 5 to 11 to discuss gender and sexuality.
Yeah. And as my daughter left the room with that day, name.
The art teacher even pulled my daughter aside as she was leaving and said, remember, you don't have to tell your parents.
You don't have to? And is there a shouldn't that's attached to that?
Right.
Well, as we later found out, as multiple families have come forward, their daughters followed the rule. The number one rule is what you hear in here, keep in here. Wow. And so many parents went even a year not knowing that their children had been attending this club without their knowledge.
Pam, talk to me about the legality of this.
Stop that.
Number one. Go ahead. You look lost. What happened?
I got lost in my screens. Okay. Yeah. All right. So the laws, a lot of these laws that have been done in this legislative session about teachers don't have to have parents they've been violating, bending, you know, nudging the law for a while, and you hear about that with Erin's situation with her daughter and what was done there. And the General Assembly has been focused on making sure that is all good and legal, that children have that your parents may not be safe, and that you have a right to have safe. We talked about this, I think, last week or the week before, with Elizabeth Epp saying, mm-hmm. you know, having a safe adult that's totally not a parent to help you figure out whether or not you want to mutilate and sterilize yourself.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Number one, I have a thing for Harris Faulkner. I don't know what it is. It just is what it is. I still haven't quite put my finger on it. It just is what it is. Number
there's
two,
no there's no judgment here.
Yeah. Number two, I'm trying to figure out. I look at demographics when I hear stories like this, and I don't hear too much about Black parents having these problems. Call me crazy. I'm not tapped in, but I'm outside. I'm outside. So I'm like, I don't hear too many Black parents saying, yes, so-and-so, you know, it was drag queen story hour at Daquan school. Like, nah, it just doesn't happen like that. I don't know why. But so I kind of want to go back to Jesse.
Jesse, I know. Kinda, I was just thinking that we should Jesse, go back to Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse kind of hit it on the nail. Now, I just want to say this. I don't think too many men, too many masculine men are okay with this situation, right? Mm-hmm. They're okay with these things going on. I can tell you right now, I'm childless right now, right? Mm-hmm. But hypothetically speaking, if I had a child and this was occurring behind my back, right, with my child, Governor Ron DeSantis would have to reappropriate taxpayer funds to build a whole new prison for me. Okay. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to make Michael Myers look like an R&B singer. Mm. Okay. Like, this is not okay. This is not okay. And it's funny. And it's wild. The wildest part about that story to me is that parents did not know for like a year.
Yeah.
Like this is where we go from me just reporting it to the proper authorities, the higher ups, or all that, to me stepping on your front porch. There's no gray area there. It's like a year,
yeah.
A year. Like, come on, man.
Yeah,
and then you gotta ask, like,
secrets from your parents. That's
yeah. Then you gotta and ask, they did, like, what kind of relationship do these parents have with their children? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. I kept stuff from my parents as a teenager and all that, but that wouldn't be something I kept quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the same.
That's just too out. That's too outrageous. It's like that's just flat out gross. And then another thing is like, what? I know you've explained this. I hate to do this to you again. I hate to do this to you again, Ash, but the question is, why? Why can't we just be normal? Like, what is wrong with normalcy? Can we just be normal? Is it that hard?
Normal. You're not allowed to say normal. It's really offensive to abnormal people.
But we can say stakeholderosity.
Yes. That's like, an official term for the legislative process, Darren. How dare you?
Geez, man. Like, what are we doing here?
All right. Well, if you want to get involved with Protect Colorado Kids, Freudian kill comment there. We've Erin put out a new video this week.
Okay, so Colorado is officially so far off the rails that our governor has signed into law House Bill 1039, non-legal name change, which is going to require, actually effective immediately, requires all public schools, including charter schools, to call a child whatever they want to be called, no age distinction, no requirement to tell parents. In fact, the people running the bill have said, even if a five-year-old's parent says, don't turn my boy into a girl, the school will be legally required to do it anyway. The teachers will be forced to comply or face legal ramifications for discrimination. And this bill was written by children. It was presented to our legislature by children. And then the four legislators that ran with it, two House representatives, one genderless, childless representative who demanded we call her mixed chair in the initial hearing, and a man who pretends to be a woman, who makes such a mockery of womanhood that he's even talked about how big his penis is on the internet, and two senators, one radical socialist who's bought and paid for by the teachers union, and another radical socialist who is currently in rehab for her drinking problem, who drunkenly proclaimed in the final committee hearing that she has a crash couch for other people's children. So I encourage you to take a few minutes and just listen to the four legislators who ran this bill. This is who's running the state of Colorado right now.
I look like someone who has a mental disorder. I mean, some people would say that in the affirmative, but that is a rhetorical question.
Now, in American society, we organize our social supports by family, by so-called traditional nuclear family even. And this is actually a social construct. It's not as if the natural order of things for all of humanity has been, you know, one mommy and one daddy and just their biological children living in a detached house and only providing for those children. I had a disagreement with a gentleman recently about education policy based around this issue, right? Where he said that he really believes that competition between schools, like their businesses, is the best way to go. And I said, okay, well, I'll roll with that for a minute. If they're businesses, who's the customer here? And he said, well, it's the parents. I said, yeah, but the kids are the ones getting the education, right? The parents already have one. Usually when we're talking about a business and its customers, the customer is the person receiving the goods and services. So This isn't adding up. And this is why I say that we have public schools for a reason, so that they'll function as a public good and not just as a private commodity. Children actually need more than just their parents. They need a whole village.
No.
All of your support and opportunity only comes from family, then it's only going to be concentrated in families, and then that's who's going to have all of the power.
Any of my children's friends that feels put out by their family or is scared to talk to their family, we have a crash couch for you. And one of my children's friends came over to me about a year ago and said, I'm coming out to my parents and I'm really scared, but knowing I have a safe place to live just in case it doesn't go well is giving me the courage to do that.
What?
Yeah.
Yo, what planet are we living on, man?
Yeah, it's the thing that is so interesting about this is that it's not that, with the exception of Faith Winters, who is, I believe, recently, I think I have it here. I think she's getting an actual consequence for showing up to an event with her constituents drunk.
Hold on.
I'm making it up. It actually happened.
No, we got it. Hold on. Stay there one more time.
Yeah, let me find it. I think I had it in the beer and weed section of the show. Yeah, here we go. This is from Colorado Politics. Sorry, I don't have it up to pull on the screen. North Glenn City Council sends ethics complaint over Senator Faith Winter's alcohol issues to state senators, state Senate. North Glenn City Council voted unanimously. I got to pop up. Unanimously Wednesday night, and I think this is just this past, Wednesday night, to send a resolution to the Senate President Steve Fenberg asking him to launch an ethics complaint against Senator Faith Winter, a Democrat from Westminster. Council also leveraged sharp words at Winter's colleagues in the state capitol, whom they've accused of ignoring the senator's alcohol problems for years. Folks will remember she showed up to a city council meeting to talk to her constituents, and she was wasted. And they never answered whether or not she drove herself home or there.
There was law enforcement.
There was DAs there. There was DA candidates there, if I'm not mistaken. Lots of people who should have been the adults in the room and said, hey, super drunk senator, maybe don't drive yourself home. They've just not answered the question, which makes me think she probably did drive herself home, but we'll probably never know. But don't worry, she has a crash couch at her house for confused kids, so everything's fine.
You know, I was just thinking one day, like 2 days ago, I was like, wow, life was a lot easier back in the early 2000s. Like, the world was a lot. It was a lot easier. It was a lot simpler times. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's a fact.
When did all this start? Like, what year would you say all this stuff started just coming out?
So I was writing LGB newsletter content in 2004, 2005, well, but not at real, kids.
Real quick, before you answer that, the reason I asked you that is because you live in a very, very liberal state, right? Mm-hmm. I've lived in, I've been between Texas and Florida and Georgia for the last, decade and a half. So this appeared after COVID.
No. And in fact, when I was writing LGB, there was no T at the time, but LGB newsletter content inside of corporate America, I was in Florida.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's, UN Sustainable Development Goal number 5. The UN Sustainable Development Goals came about in 2015. Prior to that, they were the Millennium Goals. In 2015, they were expanded to include 17 different aspects of life. And number 5 is gender equality, what they call gender equality. All of the programs to make mentally ill adults recruit your kids to be mentally ill like them, that is, in my opinion, coming from the World Economic Forum, the UN, the global corporations, down through every industry, every sector, every geography in the world, including education. And that's how my son, who's here in Colorado in middle school, can come home with a project to write about one of the UN Sustainable Development Goals, because it's damn near inextricable. That's one thing that I think DeSantis has done great as well. I know I told you to have your DeSantis praise ready, because we're going to talk about campus protests here in a minute.
They couldn't even protest in front of a red light here. They got him out of the street fast. It's like, oh, he's like,
yeah.
DeSantis is like, you're gonna commandeer a traffic light? No, we're not doing that here in Florida. This is
so it's give these people greater access to your children, make them psychologically manipulating your children fully legal, and then reduce penalties and all of the justice engagement downstream for sex crimes against kids.
But
that's the approach here in Colorado.
I understand the perversion of it, but when, let's say, like you said, these things are rolled out by the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and debugs,
Yep.
So what's the end goal here?
Like, destabilize and demoralize so that we can be taken over. And then, how taking over the United States of America. You've got to be kidding me. That could never happen. Oh, wait a second. There's like 16 million newcomers.
I mean, look, the only reason that I think that we haven't turned into England and France and all these other places yet, Paris and all these other, is because we got guns.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's our next topic is all the disarmament. So.
Yeah, that didn't come get them.
Before we get off the sex crimes against kids, gays against groomers. Came out. Oh, look, another trusted adult. Jeffco Schools was just a trusted adult at Jeffco Schools was just arrested for sex crimes. This makes the second person this year arrested, along with six other teachers on suspension for unknown reasons. We seriously can't say enough. Get your kids out of this school district. That's a Jeffco School District. And this says May 1st, 2024. Dear Red Rocks Elementary School community, we want to make you aware that today, May 1st, the Arvada Police Department arrested Jeffco employee Justin Martinez on suspicion of sexual assault on a child. Mr. Martinez worked at Red Rocks Elementary very briefly. He was hired on February 11th as the assistant director for the school age enrichment program, which includes before and after care. He was placed on administrative leave on April 22nd, immediately after the district was notified regarding a criminal investigation. Please be assured that the events are not alleged to have happened during the time he was employed at Red Rocks. Of course, we haven't looked, so we don't know if they did before and after school care. Official release will be shared tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. So that, May 1st, so last Wednesday. And then just in case you needed any more information that Colorado is maybe not the safest place for children.
An edited video showing an attempted kidnapping at an elementary school in Aurora. Parents get a briefing on this incident today. Now, the suspect, Solomon Galligan, has a long...
No, hold on. No.
Nope.
No.
He's like, he needs a job for school age.
No, hold on.
And before care and after care.
Yo, I'm done. You got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me Ashy Larry is out here kidnapping kids?
He tried. Well, let's see what happened.
Mental health problems. His family think? Also believes that the system has failed in this case. And that is where we begin our team coverage for you tonight. Tori Mason, your reporter in Aurora, and Tori, parents have been pushing the district for answers.
Answers and accountability. This has parents all over shaken up. It's just a reminder that these things can happen. Now, how this happened and who's going to be held responsible are what parents want to know now.
Surveillance cameras caught the terrifying moment, an attempted kidnapping at school. Solomon Galligan is seen approaching students and lunging at a child before falling down. Parents have now seen what their kids experienced.
It was hard. It was really hard.
Dante White's child was there.
We hope that children embellish a little bit, but the footage there.
Hold on, is that Jewel Elementary?
He watched the video with other families directly.
What's that?
Is that Jewel Elementary?
Jewel? Yeah. I don't think so. It's a school in Cherry Creek. I don't know if they said what.
It said Aurora.
Let's see if it has in here. Black Forest Hills Elementary School in Aurora.
Be impacted at a meeting with the superintendent and district officials.
They did admit fault. They did apologize. And now next steps are to schedule a secondary meeting, right? Because we prescribed a couple of items that we wanted done.
Among the requests are safety training, more fencing, and new surveillance equipment. They're calling for an independent investigation.
We want people put on administrative leave. We want people fired.
The district says they're committed to keeping students safe.
We're looking at exactly what happened, what transpired afterwards as well.
The district says improvements are being made. Staff has reviewed all safety protocols and additional supports were added.
And we also changed the supervision areas that teacher assistants have.
You think Jesse Kelly was talking about her?
at on recess to make sure that all students were visible.
White says school leaders must be held accountable.
Adults that are supposed to be trained professionals, and they weren't. They categorically failed across the board.
Now, the principal, as well as other district officials, are going to continue to meet with these families impacted just to answer any questions that they have. The parents that were here today told me that another meeting is planned for more discussion about some of those requests that were made. We're live in Greenwood Village. Tori Mason covering Colorado First.
All right, Tori, thank you.
So, you know who they didn't talk about holding accountable?
Who?
The crackhead that tried to steal the kids. Yeah.
The nut job. Of course not.
Yeah.
I mean, What is it?
He had a history of mental health problems.
Yeah, so. But we just gonna let him roam the streets like a junkie in the twilight.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we can't like take him off the streets because that would hurt his feelings, and he was probably hurt too. So, you know,
you mean
just sacrifice the kids.
Ashy Larry is his feelings are hurt. Okay.
This dude, unbelievable.
This dude hasn't seen a bottle of Jergens in 10 years. that dude has been through the struggle. He'll be just fine. Okay.
Hey, speaking of Epic Moisture by Epic Minerals.
No, we gotta do this right. Hold on. Here we go.
Epic Moisture by EpicMinerals.net is a incredible formula. I'm going to read a little bit of this. You have to lift my glasses. We are so excited that you found our wonderful body cream made with your skin in mind. We're talking to you, Ashley Larry. This rich and creamy butter is perfect for both day and night use. Apply a small amount to clean dry skin and gently massage in until fully absorbed. In it is Garcinia indica, okay. Mangifera indica, and a whole bunch of, we've got argan oil, we've got apricot kernel oil, incredible product. It really does. I think Larry would really benefit from this. I don't think he can afford it. Because he's hopefully an incarcerated crackhead at this point.
He was trying to,
may be able to.
He was trying to sell, he's trying to trade the child for lotion.
seriously though, at epicminerals.net we also have the zeolite with humic and fulvic acids. This binds to the heavy metals in your body and flushes them out of your system. They have artisan soaps. They have a new very highly concentrated skin oil for you know, deep moisture. Epic Minerals. Yeah, I'm gonna pull this up so everybody can see, because the soaps are so pretty. I want everybody to see how pretty. Let's see here. All right. So this is the new Organic Body and Scalp Serum. Ultimate in skincare luxury. Revitalize and nourish your skin and scalp. Potent elixir. You will be hydrated, rejuvenated, and pampered. Here's the Zeolite Extra that we just talked about. The creamy body butter, which is amazing. I'm a big fan, especially here in Colorado where it is, you know, so dry. The body butter is amazing. And then look at how pretty these soaps are. Aren't they beautiful?
I mean, I'm going to put my masculinity aside and say that I would like some.
This one is Arabian Woods. That's a very manly scent.
Okay.
Musky and manly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
So everybody check out epicminerals.net and use promo code ASH. We're going to talk about guns in just a second, but we're going to hit our second couple sponsors. If I can find the videos for them, which I should be able to. And here we go.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
Psst. Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
All right. All right. We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. So last night we got an update from Ian Escalante over at Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. He is camped out at the Capitol. And let me actually throw this up as well. He is camped out at the Capitol, and you can see he just posted, "I will not rest." This is 18 minutes ago. "I will not rest until the 2024 assault weapons ban is dead." Go, Ian, go. So here's his update.
Yeah,
Ian is the shit. So this is the update of where we are as of last night. So not the latest, but I don't believe that that bill has hit the floor yet. And while this is playing, I'll check and see if it's on the floor now.
What's going on, Colorado? Ian Escalante, Director of Operations for Rocky Mountain Gun Owners here. I am still at the Capitol on this lovely Saturday. We now have 3 more full days of session left on the calendar. So tomorrow, the Senate will not be gaveling in. The House will be, but at this point, the House doesn't matter because all of our gun bills right now are in the Senate. The Senate has gaveled back in for the evening. Senate Majority Leader Robert Rodriguez announced the special orders calendar, and none of the gun bills that are on second readings. So House Bill 1270, the liability insurance mandate, House Bill 1353, which is the state permit for gun shops, will be heard tonight, meaning no action can be taken on them until Monday. Additionally, there was no assault weapons ban hearing today. They are running out of time to get that bill through committee. And additionally, even though the guns and ammo tax did pass today, it did not get heard in appropriations, meaning they will not be able to get it on the floor, likely until Monday, with Senate Republicans threatening to run the clock out on most of the controversial bills and a lot of governor priority bills still left to be heard this session. We are feeling very cautiously optimistic. I do not want to get anyone's hope up. We are going to stay vigilant. And should something change and should a gun bill be brought up tonight, our allies will inform me and I will be right back here at the Capitol. So thank you guys so much for your support. We're fighting like hell and we will win.
All right. Shout out to Ian.
Hey, you know what? I think Ian deserves a Don DeMarco, man.
Don DeMarco. DeMarco.
Shout out to Ian.
Shout out, Ian. Thank you so much for being there and watching these commies try and disarm us and telling all of us about it all the time. If all else fails, we pull a Ron Paul. They're not illegal firearms. They're just undocumented firearms trying to live in sanctuary homes. Don't be a bigot, Colorado communist. That's right.
Hey, here's a proposal. All of you patriots in Colorado, is what you should do, right?
Ready? Move to Florida.
That's it. That's it.
The answer.
That's it. That's it. We already.
How
we already
did I know?
Republicans already have a 900,000 win against Democrats right now in the state. So Nikki Fried and all them talking about we're gonna turn Florida blue. Yeah. So why don't y'all just come on down here and help us more? Let's make it more impossible for them. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, I mean, I got plenty of buddies in real estate that are building more doors than you can imagine because of the amount of people that are moving here. You guys will have a place. You guys will find a place. Okay, there's parts of Florida that are just empty, and these guys are now developing condos and all that stuff on. Like, there's never a shortage. Turnpike, they're expanding the lanes on the turnpike. You guys will have plenty of space. Come on down. You know what I'm saying?
So our final story of the day, and we've got to burn through this quickly because we're already out of time, is the campus protests. And I'm just going to hit what's going on here in Colorado really quickly, and then you can brag about where you live. Pro-Palestinian protesters reject a Rory campus offer of $15,000 donation to Gaza in exchange for dismantling encampment. The donation would be made under Students for a Democrat Society's name, but they rejected it. You can see there the encampment has grown since we looked at it last week. It was like three, four tents last week. It's growing. And Mayor Johnston apparently not making good on his commitment to clear the tents. Hey, guys, you really got to take the tents down or we're going to clear them out. And they're like, nah, we're not doing that. And he's like, okay.
Mayor Johnston, this is for you.
So that happened. And then, you know, we've seen these popping up on all sorts of other campuses. Let's get over to this one here. More college campuses. CU Denver, Metropolitan State student organizers met with the Aurora officials on Tuesday. We're going to see these encampments expand. You know who's giving it the old literal college try? CSU. I got these pictures from a student. So they've got two tents. And at max capacity, I think I see five people, but it does look like some of them might just be walking by. And what I'm wondering is, how does the call and response work for these guys?
Now check this out. So I was watching a video today from a content creator by the name of Greg Foreman. He has a channel on YouTube called BCP, right? Black Conservative Perspective. And this guy was talking, they did a deep dive in who's funding all of this. Soros and our trusty sidekick, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mr. Lab Grown Meat. So yeah, that's who's behind.
All
so
awful things for our society generally tie back to the Soros Open Society Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and of course Open Society Foundation, Open Society's Foundation, and all of the Soros goodness now run by his son Alex.
His son Alex is a moron. Have you ever heard him speak?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out if these individuals are some of, you know, Joe Biden's biggest donors. Why would you want to inflict chaos that is going to hurt him in 2020 in November?
So this started with Rashida Tlaib in the Michigan presidential primary saying vote non-committed, right? Because we are going to pressure Biden to make headway on a ceasefire, not just a ceasefire in Gaza, but establish the Palestinian state. Like, we're going to get it done. We're going to make.
Yeah, good luck with that. Like, let me tell you something. I'm going to be real with you. All right. Before you go on, I'm going to let everybody know. I believe Netanyahu is going to turn Gaza into a parking lot.
Okay? Certainly wants to.
And the reason I say this is because there's a ton of natural gas off the coast of Gaza. And I don't see them stopping until they get their hands. And honestly, I think Joe Biden is complicit in it. He's just playing like he's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think Joe Biden has dementia and is a puppet for the same people that ran the Obama administration. But your point is well taken.
Pause. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. Do you think so? The conspiratorial folks, when that happened, this is very exciting comms. He's talking about this being the pause in the middle of Trump's two terms. Yeah, that's
ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I love it. I'm down with it. I mean, I think that's the most logical answer that we have. And that is the show that we have for you guys today. Darren, great to see you as always. Thanks
likewise,
joining me, and enjoy your freedom. I'll give you an update on mine next week.
hey, let's give a round of applause to Florida.
You guys have earned it. You have earned it. You know, I was in a Twitter space this morning. It was the most ridiculous conversation, but I just went with it, right? You know, let's go along with it. Of what is the appropriate conduct if somebody throws an alligator through a drive-through window at you if you work And only like everybody from Florida had an actual answer to the question.
I wouldn't, you know, honestly, I the fact that like, and I bet you these answers were fast too. It wasn't even, didn't it take much thought? They just like, oh, that's easy. We just
yeah, it can't climb the counter. So I'm jumping up on the counter. Somebody else said you're supposed to zigzag run. But if you're in the little area where like there's the drink machine and the cash register and the window, you don't have a lot of zigzagging room right there. Right.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, so, but that's only like a 2 foot, 2x2.
Gator's coming quick, man.
Gators aren't that, they got a lot of times they got to figure out where they at first. You know what I'm saying?
They're like stunned. Like, get out of there while it's stunned.
I've literally seen people like take alligators out of containment and just put them on the ground and they looking around like, yo, this ain't the crib.
Yeah. Now, for those of you in Colorado that are thinking of visiting Florida and messing with gators, don't.
No, I wouldn't recommend it. But here's the thing.
And don't go in any standing water unless you've checked for gators.
Right. Right. And they make their presence very, very known. You know what I mean? That's why I never understood how like people get stand so close to the lake and they don't see these things. Like I can see I there's a lake behind my crib. I can see it clear across the lake. So how can you not see it? And it's right there.
Yeah, when we lived on that lake, I always knew where those gators were. I knew exactly where they were at all times because they can kill you.
Yeah, they can. They can. But you know, I mean, you barely see them. You know what I'm saying? You have to live in the Everglades, like really in the Glades to see them like often. You know what I mean? And people treat these gators like dogs. They just like, get down. Like they smack them like, These Florida boys are different, man.
Sit, guys, roll over.
Yeah, these guys are on a different, they're on another plane, man.
So. All right, everybody. Well, Darren, it's great to see you again. We'll see you next week. And thanks, everybody. Tune in if you want to check out, let's see what bill. So they have been debating a SB 24150 processing of municipal solid waste for about the past 45 minutes. I don't even want to know. I really don't. So we're going to leave that at that. And everybody can tune in to Colorado Channel over on YouTube if you want to watch what's going on in the legislature. Until then, we will see you guys next time. Have a great, great week, everyone.
Peace.